Hello and welcome to Blockchain Gaming World episode 101. We are entering the new centurion of podcasts. I'm John Jordan, and I'm very pleased joining me today is Jean-Paul Farage of the Influence Game. How's it going, Jean-Paul?
Hey, good. Thanks for having me. Really excited to be here. Congrats on reaching 100 episodes and this one being 101. Yeah, excited to dive in.
good. So we've got quite a lot to get through, but as ever, I think it's good to sort of frame the guest. So this is your opportunity to sort of tell us how you got into sort of the blockchain gaming world. I think everyone has a slightly different story, and I think it's sort of nice to hear that sort of kind of origin narrative. So
blockchain is such a interesting space, and I think everyone has, like, it's not like people went to school for it. So it's a fun thing to kind of tell your story. I got into blockchain honestly in about 2016. My buddy Travis was like, hey, you should check out Ethereum, it's cool, go read the white paper. And I read all the information that I could about it, and I was like, wow, this is fascinating. You know, it's basically, my understanding back then was like, so it's like a app store without a wall, you know, like anyone has access to it. Wow, that's a really powerful thing. And so I put some money into it back then, nothing much or whatever. And I was, you know, invested. So I wanted to learn more and more. And at the time, I was running my own web design business. So I was naturally kind of into tech, into design. And over the years, I just got more and more into blockchain. And I wanted to work in it. And it's a weird thing, because back then, it's like you were either a developer working on a project, or you were like one of the select few who were kind of like customer facing, but there wasn't a lot of jobs for people who were not like specialized in development. And so I just kind of kept looking, kept figuring it out. And then in 2020, my partner, or, you know, the founder of Influence, Chris, had posted something on Reddit about the game that he was building. And this was kind of just like, you know, an idea, a closet project. He really wanted to turn it into something bigger and go, you know, full scale, get it out to the masses. And I just wrote him and was like, hey, this looks really cool. I don't know if you're looking for anyone. And he was like, well, do you do design or marketing? And I was like, I do both. Like, that's what I do. And so we hopped on a call. And he basically said, he's like, we ended up, you know, it was like one of those introduction 15-minute calls, and ended up going 2 hours long. We got along really well. And he was like, well, I can't pay you. This is like just kind of a project. Why don't we see what we can do? And from that moment, we were, you know, more than 40 hours a week with our current obligations of other jobs and things like that, building out this game, putting it out to the community. And that was in, I think February was when we first started working together. And now, you know, come November, we've had two successful pre-sales under our belt. We've got a community about 6,000, and we're just so excited to be part of this space and, you know, building this game. We're really excited about the game. As much as it is a blockchain game, blockchain is the tool that we're using. But this game is supposed to be an immersive, enjoyable experience that happens to use blockchain. So, you know, my passion for gaming has been since a kid. I played World of Warcraft. I'm afraid to tell you how many hours I've put into that game. And so I've always loved the MMO space. And then sci-fi is just, I've been a total sci-fi nut my entire life. So you combine all that passion for blockchain, and I end up in a place that feels right. But when you look back at the history of how I got here, I couldn't tell you why this happened.
Yeah, no, exactly. Now, I mean, I guess it's interesting, though, isn't it? I mean, I think this sort of space is, I think it's sort of changing sort of now, but certainly up to this point has been sort of full of sort of, you know, enthusiastic sort of amateurs who sort of just sort of found it, sort of liked it, sort of kept going, you know, and brought their own individual skills and met up with like-minded people. As you say, it's sort of funny when you have these, you know, I've had sort of several where you have these, you know, say introductory meetings with people, and then you just, both of you sort of pouring out all these, have you seen that? Or, you know,
yeah.
I think it's a really sort of good, for people who are, I guess, you know, broadly of a similar background, you know, you just sort of bond around this sort of creating new technology and all the possibilities, which is fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. You know, when you say it's like a bunch of amateurs getting together, it's So, you know, we have hard skills. Like, our team has some really good gaming background now, development background. We've got good community building skills, things like that. But the cool thing is that we're all entering this space of blockchain in a relatively fresh time. You know, it's only been around for so long. And so we all get to explore this together. We, you know, we're on the bleeding edge of technology here. And it comes with its pains, but it also comes with its extremely rewarding, you know, feeling of pushing technology forward.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you said focused on the game, so let's focus on the game. So yeah. What is influence? What do we start? So let's start off on a high level, and we can sort of grind down into it. But you know, at the top level, what are we talking about here?
Yeah. So influence is a space strategy MMO. Built on the Ethereum blockchain and scaled with Starknet, which is our layer 2 solution. So that might not mean a lot to some people who are listening, but as a game, we are a fully immersive experience that is going to be future realism is a big pillar of this game. So it is a space strategy MMO, but it's not Star Trek. It's not Star Wars. It is based on what would the future look like in, you know, 200 to 400 years or so. And so the story starts from the perspective of the Earth is dying and people need to leave the planet. Now, some people will choose to stay, but a lot of people are going to try and get off planet and go find a new world for themselves. And so all these generational ships are built. They can hold, you know, between like 10 and 20,000 people. And they all kind of come together on the space station and jet off to their location that they want to, or that they think will become a habitable place for them to live. And that is kind of where our story starts. One of the ships that held a crew of about 11,000 people called the Arvad on its way to the space that everyone else was headed to has a fuel problem. They're no longer able to reach the same star system that everyone else was going to. So they have to make some decision, and they scan, you know, the known universe that they can reach, and they set their sights on a system called Adalia. Adalia has 5 planets that are circling about, and they have some good hopes that they might be able to inhabit one of these. This is a 150-year journey, so none of the people on the ship at this point are going to reach the actual planet. So they get there pretty close, and they do some scanning of the planets. And they find out that none of these planets are habitable. They are not going to be able to use any of their supplies to, you know, terraform or be able to, you know, just plop down and start a life there. So they look around and they find that Adalia has an asteroid belt, and they last ditch effort, do some probes and some scans of these asteroids and find that the materials that they can mine from their, these asteroids could support life. So they end up settling on Adalia Prime, the largest asteroid in the belt. And this is where the game begins. This is where players are going to get dropped in on. They're going to start playing the perspective of a crew, and you are building the colony. You are trying to survive in a place that is not meant to survive. Humans are not meant to be here. And so you end up using all these asteroids and creating a supply chain that people will then build infrastructure and start commerce and grow a community. Now, this is not for the faint of heart. This game is not a auto battler mobile game. Now, you will be able to play from the phone, but the best experience will be from a desktop. And these players will get to participate in a very immersive, digital economy that is based around a always rotating asteroid belt. So another factor that I think is super fun to tell people is that this is a unique aspect to our game. I don't think any other game has ever really attempted to do this, but it's an asteroid belt. Every asteroid rotates around the star of Adalia at a varied speed. Its orbital period is slightly different than other asteroids. Its inclination, meaning the angle in which it goes around the star, is slightly different. And then its spectral type, which are the resource composition that you can mine, is also unique to that asteroid. And so you put that all together and you get a very strategy heavy game that players are going to have to work together to build out these really deep supply chains to build ships, buildings, food processing plants, storage, and like this is you in a world trying to survive. And I could not be more excited about it.
Yeah, good. That's a really sort of deep overview of what you're doing. And I guess it's interesting to note. I mean, you mentioned already you've done some sort of NFT drops, and already you have some of these asteroids already have been sort of minted and available on OpenSea, and you also have some crew members as well. Maybe talk a bit about that later. But it seems like you're very much just sort of starting from the ground up. It is going to be. It is interesting because I guess we have to discuss. You know, you influence is not the only game of this type. it seems like sort of space MMOs seem to be one of, I guess, along with card trading card games, one of the most popular genres for blockchain. I don't know if anyone's produced a sort of a taxonomy of all these games out there. I mean, do you spend a lot of time looking at some of these other games and seeing, you know, how are we competitive? How do we fit in? Or, you know, I mean, do you think now it's so early, it doesn't really matter? You sort of build your own thing.
Yeah, I think it's a balance. I would be lying to say that we don't look at other games. I think from a game design perspective, like, it makes sense. You need to look at other games. Some of the influence of our game influence comes from past games. Like, you know, we're drawing on the inspiration of games like Stellaris and EVE Online and all these other great games and creating something unique. But sci-fi is this huge genre. And, just because it's in space doesn't mean your game is really anything like another game. We get compared to quite a few games, but the major one that we get compared to is Star Atlas. And we're vastly different. To be perfectly honest, our game experience is going to be very different. Ours is more of like a very supply chain, strategy heavy, commerce type game where people are really building infrastructure, trying to build up their economies, trading, creating alliances and corporations and working through that. And yes, there will be PvP combat eventually, but this that part of it is not like a first-person shooter where you're flying around your ship and you're shooting people. It's very much built around like engaging a giant fleet in your alliance, and you're going to go attack maybe another corporation or something. You get into their orbit around an asteroid, and you try and take out their infrastructure and things like that. So it's going to be very much, if you think of battles that happened in EVE Online, the battles are going to be kind of similar to that, where it ebbs and flows. Every day there's not a lot of combat. It's kind of like every month or maybe every 3 months there's this massive system-wide brawl of sorts. And I think that's going to be really exciting. Now, how we differentiate ourselves from other games in the blockchain space, regardless of whether they're space or TCG or any type of game, is that we're very Ethereum-focused. We are Ethereum-centric, and we are built... we're building on, you know, Ethereum, and we're scaling with Starknet. And what that is, why are we doing that? Why does that matter? If you don't know any of what I just said, why does that matter to you? Well, Web3 and blockchain is this beautiful decentralized world, and Ethereum and layer twos, in our opinion, are the most decentralized option. And I think they're going to provide the most value to players who actually want to own their assets. So NFTs are kind of like this buzzword in the world now. A lot of people have heard NFT. A lot of people still don't understand what an NFT is. And so the evolution of NFTs is kind of a wonderful thing to be able to experience and to be part of. And I'm sure you know a lot about this, of being in this world right now. But everything that has happened up until now needed to happen. So like profile picture projects like CryptoPunks, CyberConks, things like that, that started off as like just this image almost, like, and attaching value to it and being able to trade it. It was this like weird, wonderful thing. But, NFTs are really powerful. They are in essence, a non-fungible token that you have ownership of. And in a game, that means a lot. So when you're playing World of Warcraft or EVE Online and you own a ship or a character or a weapon, whatever it is, it's just stored on a centralized server. And when you leave the game, there really isn't much you can do with it. Like, I have two level 70 characters in World of Warcraft that have been gathering dust for 10 years. Like, I haven't touched them. Now, in Influence and other blockchain games, what you're really able to do are accrue value over time by playing this game. And you know, the better you are at this game, the more that you play, the more value you accrue. And yes, utility tokens are earned while playing. Our game will have Sway, which is our in-game utility token, and you can do a lot with that in-game, but it also has the ability to be ported out of game if you want and swapped to another cryptocurrency. I'll get it. I don't want to go too much in the weeds in this, and but the power of owning your ship or you know, your NFT in your wallet is that one day, let's say you just decide, I want to play a different game, or maybe you want to play the same game, but you want a completely different strategy. Well, all those assets are yours to trade freely to whoever you want, in-game or out-of-game. And I think that is just like one of the most epic experiences a gamer can have. Ethereum, relating this all back to kind of the beginning of this question, is that Ethereum's the best solution in our mind for this. Other games are using, you know, Polygon or Solana or Binance Smart Chain, things like that. And to be perfectly clear, if you don't understand these technologies, it's going to be hard for you to know this, but most of these side chains or other L1s are quite centralized. So a small group of VCs pretty much own a large majority share of all of these, and they control the servers. So you're basically saying you want NFTs and to own all your assets, and then you're building a game on a platform that is pretty much centrally controlled. So Ethereum isn't, and that's why we chose to go with Ethereum, because in the long run, we think 10 years from now, Ethereum will still be the supreme blockchain, whereas a lot of these other L1s that are competing for market share will likely die off. I'm not saying all of them will, and some might do quite well, but it is going to be very challenging to take market share away from Ethereum long-term, in my opinion. And so building a game with Ethereum is about longevity. We want people playing Influence 20 years from now. So we have to choose the best solution for what we think is going to be around in 20 years.
No, I mean, on a personal level, broadly, I am very sort of Ethereum centric as well. anecdotally, you know, the start of this year, I thought this would be 2021 would be a really, you know, this would be the year in which sort of Ethereum sort of dialed back a bit because we've got all the, you know, we're waiting for ETH2 and we've got all these sort of gas problems. And I was looking for, like, you know, which are the other chains that are going to sort of really compete. And we have, you know, it's not that we haven't seen stuff, you know, certainly Binance Smart Chain on the DeFi stuff has been really surprising. No games on it at all. Polygon, I thought, would be a lot stronger on games. Hasn't really worked out. Solana's been a bit of a surprise. No games live on it yet. You know, great for funding. If I wanted to make a game, I would get it funded on Solana. You know, and I in a sense, you know, I hope stuff like Solana, you know, I don't think it's good necessarily for the industry for just there to be one obvious solution. I think there needs to be sort of competition around these things. So I hope some of these other chains do well. I've always been quite bullish on Flow as a blockchain. Again, it's been slow year for them. But the funny thing is, just ETH has got stronger and stronger this year, in the year where I thought it would be the weakest. And so that's sort of funny. And I think, we don't need to go too much into detail, but when we have things like, you know, optimistic roll-ups, one technique, and then ZK roll-ups, which is sort of part of what you're using with StarkNet. Yeah. And these are still quite early technologies, but in the long term, very sort of powerful when combined with the ETH sort of vision. I agree. I think it's very hard to sort of bet against ETH in the long term.
And to, you know, sum all this up, I love comparing it to operating systems that we use today. You know, try and have people name more than three operating systems. You know, you've got Apple operating system or Mac, then you have Microsoft, and then you have like Linux. And honestly, Linux is the backbone of most already. So like most people won't be able to probably say more than those three. And why is that? It doesn't really make sense to have 1,000 operating systems, because it's an operating system is supposed to allow for millions and millions and billions of people to all operate in a similar like native system. And so my thought is that, you know, in the future, 10 years from now, there won't need to be 20 different L1 blockchains. Ethereum, I think, is going to position itself as kind of an Apple or a Microsoft, and it's just going to take a giant market share, you know, of that total system. That does not mean there will be, won't be others. It's just, you know, who do you bet on? And we just think that it's an unstoppable force, and we want to be part of it.
Yeah, I think definitely. I mean, I think different projects might, you know, I can imagine being a game developer with a certain project, and I want to do it sort of something quite quickly. I want to get funded quite quickly, and I wouldn't necessarily do that on Ethereum like today. But yeah, I think broadly, you know, it's, yeah.
Right.
And I guess it's sort of funny for those who've been around for a while. You know, we saw back in 2018, 2019, the sort of, you know, Tron and EOS were going to be the Ethereum killers, and we've seen versions of this sort of position before. Anyway, we don't have to put our Ethereum hats on too much. So in terms of sort of where you are, I mean, you're sort of, you know, you're playing a sort of long game. You're playing a sort of very deep game. So I guess to a degree you are, you know, this is not criticism, not meant as criticism anyway. You're not one of the sort of high profile sort of shilling blockchain game projects we have at the moment. We have quite a lot of those. Some of them are good, some of them not so good. You're sort of, it seems to me you're sort of, you know, you're sort of confident in what you're doing. You don't feel like you're having to go out there. But you've got some sort of stuff coming up, haven't you? So can you talk a little bit about your kind of your roadmap over the sort of coming sort of 6 months and what people should be expecting?
Yeah. You know, we have a lot of really exciting things happening in probably the next six. I'll just say 6 months. That's an easy way to put it. We're pretty hardcore on our roadmap now. Our timelines we set for ourselves, and we try and hit those. I don't want to call them deadlines, but they're markers that we really want to hit. But it helps us develop faster. And so, you know, we might shift dates a little here and there because we just need more time, and we're not going to release a product that is subpar just because we put some arbitrary date on it. But what is happening here in the near future for us? Well, right now, to date, we have a full beta client out. You can go into our game, you can click on the asteroids, you can mint some crew members, you can play around in it. Now, there's not a lot of gameplay, though. So right now it's a concept that you're able to look at and play around in, which is honestly more than 99% of other blockchain games that are purely hype and pictures. We have a client already built. Now, what are we doing for the game launch? Well, Exploitation is our first fully playable release. We are on our way to having that fully released soon, but we are adding functionality to the game in stages up until the big release of Exploitation. And so parts of that are crew assignments. Crew assignments are going to be the first, what I would call, playable feature in the game. These are going to be text-based missions where people come in, they select one of their crew members that they own, and they go through a little bit of a story, and they earn titles, traits, badges, icons, gamer swag, achievements from doing that. And we think that's really exciting. So right now, players have the ability on secondary market to purchase, because they're already owned by players who purchased asteroids in our first two sales. The citizens and specialists, which are crew members that were on the Arvad, the ship that took everyone to Adalia, these, if you purchase one, will be able to complete the first stage of our crew assignments, because it takes place on the ship. So these missions are, what did these people do on the ship and everything? And then once they land on Adalia, which will be very soon after, probably between 4 and 7 weeks or so, we're going to implement on Adalia missions where you form your crew. Every player has the ability to lock in 5 crew members as their unit. That's what they play. And, you know, most games you play one character, but in every good sci-fi movie or show you've ever seen, you see those multiple people sitting at the front, the helm of the ship, and they're all communicating with each other and trying to make decisions on what to do. So in this game, the classes that you can play, which there are five, scientist, miner, merchant, engineer, and pilot, are part of your crew, and you can have any composition of those. So if you want five pilots, four miners, one pilot, or whatever the composition that you want, you slot those in, you'll have your crew, and then you'll start to be able to complete these crew assignments as a unit and earn some cool rewards for doing that. And so as it goes, it functions for two purposes. One, to give people a playable experience in our game client to get used to the UI and have some fun and have some rewards. But two, it tells the story, the lore, the canon of the game that happened until the game is fully released, exploitation, when you start to have a colony on Adalia Prime and you're able to jet off in your own spaceship to the asteroid that you own and start competing with others in terms of building up infrastructure, building supply chain and things like that. So that's the basic roadmap right now. Something to add to is that Sway, our utility token, is going to be released very soon, and how it is first going to be seen and acquired by community members is you complete these crew assignments and then you're able to kind of recruit people. So you'll have the ability to post on Twitter or send it to a friend in a text or email. And if they join and purchase an asteroid, you will earn some sway. Now, there's nothing you can do with that sway yet, but once we start opening up the marketplace in the coming months, you'll be able to spend your recruitment points, that sway you've earned, on in-game items. And so at the start of exploitation, you'll have these people who've recruited a bunch of players, and they'll be able to buy maybe a ship or something, and all of a sudden they have this like advantage. And all you have to do to have this advantage is complete some crew assignments and tell your friends about it. Like it's I think a really powerful and engaging experience that sets the stage for our fully playable release.
No, that sort of makes sense. I mean, I kind of think still sort of those sort of referral codes, their referral processes is bizarrely underestimated by so many projects in general, but blockchain ones in particular. You just kind of think, you know, clearly we all seen it work. It works super well. I think it sounds, from what you're describing, it sounds quite nice that I think the other thing a lot of blockchain games do is they either make you jump through really ridiculously convoluted hoops to sort of get anything, and you kind of think, oh, I can't be bothered. Whereas this is sort of like, you know, this is sort of like, sounds like it's encouraging you to do something that you probably would have done anyway, but now you definitely sort of will do. And it's not like a, you know, it's just a nice way of sort of greasing that wheel of sort of getting you into the first stages of the game and giving you something to do rather than,
it's an experience, and we're trying to make it a fun one. And the thing is that people who play games like to play with their friends. And so why not make it really easy for them to invite their friends to this game? So, you know, it's something that we're really excited about. The community is a huge, huge part of this. Something that I could not stress enough is that being part of our community, getting in on the Discord, has a real effect on both you and the game. A lot of the game, like the naming of these planets, for example, that were uninhabitable. Well, we didn't have names for them at first. And so like we now have a group of community writers that were like, can we come up with names? And so like a lot of the canon that's becoming part of our story is community generated. And this is something that's really important to blockchain decentralization and having community ownership of assets. Now, if you own an asteroid, you basically own a part of the game. This is finite land in a game. And so you have incentive to tell people about it and want them in there. And I think it's just this new world that, you know, if you think about EVE Online or World of Warcraft, every dollar spent in game goes directly to Blizzard or CCP for EVE. And what that means is that players are putting endless hours into a game, and they're accruing zero value for adding, you know, so much life to that game. And that was kind of the birth of the game, and where this idea came from was Chris, our founder, was playing EVE Online for a very long time and helped start the Test Alliance, which is one of the largest alliances in game at that time. and was sinking like 40, 50 hours a week into this game, managing about $1 million of their in-game currency ISK every, I think, month it was. And he didn't get anything for that other than being able to play the game. Actually, he paid for the privilege to do this. And so this is like the beauty of it. And this was in 2012, when Chris had this idea. This is before blockchain gaming was really like explored. NFTs were not even a thing. And so we're not just riding the wave of blockchain hype. We are choosing it because it is the best tool for players to have ownership over their game. And, you know, that's kind of sums up like both everything that we care about and why we think influence as a game is going to be so powerful. It's a super deep, intriguing, strategy-focused game that players have ownership of their assets. And you combine that and you just get this like unbelievably exciting experience that grows over time. So players who come in on day one of this game get to help shape the future of what this game will look like. All the supply routes that end up coming up. Like, if you're a community member right now, you're probably going to be able, like, oh, yeah, I set up that, you know, I helped set up the supply chain between Adalia Prime and the First Alliance, and it exports the most ICE out of anyone in game. And this is like 10 years from now or something like that. And I just think that's really, really fun.
Yeah, it definitely is a fascinating sort of thread that so many people, particularly, you know, people who are very passionate about making these MMORPGs, you know, or MMOs, you know, a lot of them have come from playing. You know, playing. I mean, Eve is obviously a big one for the space sci-fi thing, and World of Warcraft for the sort of the more RPG people. And it is fascinating that you kind of think, you know, it's such a you know, blockchain is such an additive technology. You know, it's almost weird to think how did the, I think we'll look back and think how did these things ever become mass market without without blockchain? Because as you describe it, it is sort of crazy that people basically had these in-game jobs and they were paying for it. You know, obviously they have lots of fun. You can't take the fun of that in achievement, but you just kind of see. You know, I think you know, with blockchain economies that are now permanent sort of emergent economies, and obviously, you know, you guys building on Ethereum. You know, you'll be a game on Ethereum with all the economy in your game, and then it'll be all the stuff happening on Ethereum, all the sort of, you know, your tokens will be in Uniswap and all the DeFi stuff that people will be building around that. And if your game's successful, more of the DeFi stuff will start supporting, you know, all that sort of layering is just, this is what these games were supposed to be.
and, you know, I think that's why I think Ethereum is also just so powerful and why our game fits so well is that people have the term metaverse. I mean, Facebook just renamed their company to Meta. Like, you know, the metaverse, what it is in, you know, summary, in my opinion, a lot of people have different definitions, but it is the interconnectedness of everything, both digital and physical. And to have a digital highway that everything connects to is extremely important to make that function. And I consider Ethereum that digital highway. And so our game being built off of this digital highway Ethereum and having our token Sway, well, you go into Uniswap, you swap it to whatever other token to go into another game that you play. And all of a sudden you're just doing all of this stuff. And like, it doesn't have to have a not that it doesn't have a monetary value for some people. Like, some people are willing to pay dollars for things, but the beauty of it is you could never think about it as currency. And it ends up being this beautiful thing that you are able to go into all these different communities from playing a game. So something I'm super intrigued about is having, instead of subscription models for a lot of like digital publications like New York Times and things like that, is they're just like, hey, give us some tokens of XYZ every month that you've earned natively by just browsing the internet with like basic attention token and Brave browser, and you can have free access to all of our content. Why would they do that? Because instead of only having 1 million subscribers or however many subscribers they have that pay $10 a month, they can have 1 billion people paying $2 a month or something. And it just, it creates a world where there's no longer walled gardens everywhere and people have access to everything. And I think gaming is a big part of that. And why I think it's a big part of that is there's 2.75 billion gamers in the world right now. All of them are used to having to learn in-game environments, and every game is a new learning experience. And so utilizing a blockchain game, as long as we do our absolute best to make the user experience smooth, is just like playing any other game. But what they get from this is they're going to learn the tools to interact with the entirety of what is the metaverse and blockchain. And they do that all from a game. And in the end, what we're going to have is just an entire economy that natively knows how to use this world because they played some video games as a kid. Like, it's just so cool.
Absolutely. No, that is, I think you've encapsulated that very well. That is sort of the big vision, really, I think, for blockchain gaming. It is the sort of onboarding mechanic to this whole sort of kind of new world with, you know, just, I mean, very simply, I often say, like, you know, just sort of blockchain and cryptocurrencies is just like computer money. It's internet money. It's kind of what we should have had 20 years ago, and it would have made things a lot better. But we're finally getting it, so let's be thankful for that.
yeah. So, and obviously, you can tell I'm pretty passionate about all this, not just gaming. And I think I really think that we're going to see some pretty incredible changes in how people utilize the internet and function online in the next like 6 to 18 months. It's not very far away, and relating that back to influence, we're gonna have a playable game, you know, within 3 to 6 months, and because of that, that's just like fits into the roadmap, the timeline of the technology perfectly. And like you said, you know, we're not the hype kings of blockchain gaming, and we're it's not that we don't want attention. Obviously we want people to play our game, but something that's really powerful is having people in our community that want to be part of the community, not just because they want to earn free stuff or something like that. You know, we're trying not to do like what I would call black hat marketing, where you get a lot of people, but like, what's the quality of those people? We have 6,000 people in our Discord right now. And like, we have some of the most incredibly deep conversations, from gaming to like philosophy and sci-fi. Like, it's just so much fun.
Yeah, no, I will say that's a very, I mean, the simplest thing to check out sort of, you know, the level of a community is just going to the Discord and just sort of see what's going on there, and just, you know, is it just people going, when, you know, when moon, sir, you know, I mean, nothing wrong with that as an attitude. Everyone wants the sort of token to go up, but, you know, is that a good long-term community for a game project? Yeah, probably not. So yeah, go if you're interested. Influence, check out Discord. I'll put all the links into the notes. And yeah, I mean, your stuff's open. NFT's live on OpenSea. You can check out. And influence.th.io is the website, which is sort of nice.
it's a little bit of a play with Ether. Yes. It does make it sound like you have a lisp a little bit when you say it, but yeah, influence.th.io. Our Discord's probably the best place for people to find us. And cool. Yeah, if you liked what you heard here, you know, come chat with us. I'm Ether Way in the Discord, so I'm available to message. You can DM me, you can do whatever. Ask me as many questions as you want. We've got some exciting things coming up here soon. So if you're interested in our game, come check us out now rather than later.
Lovely. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for your time, John-Paul. Great to talk to you. I'm sure we will do it again in future.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Sean.
And thank you for listening to or watching this podcast / videocast. Hope you enjoyed it. If you do, you can always give us a review, particularly helpful on the audio podcast side of things. But if you're on YouTube, you can write some nice comments on YouTube as well. That's fine. Doesn't bother me. Keep subscribed. So we are every week or so. We are talking to the people who are building out this great new sort of sector of gaming. The great thing is, very easy podcast to do. People are very passionate about it, so it's just great to talk to these people. And as I say, these are the games that are going to be around in 10 years' time. So I hope you will find something useful here. Come back next week, see what's going on then.